The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Jesus put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.' Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' He answered, 'The field is the world, and the good seed is the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Last week we heard Jesus' parable concerning the fate of good seed sown in four different kinds of soil: hard-packed, rocky, thorny, and good. Today we've heard another parable involving good seed sown in a field, but this time no distinction in the soil is noted. This time, the problem is an enemy who has sown poisonous seed. Everything seemed fine until the grain set its head. Then it became clear that this wheat field had been oversown with zizania seed. That's the word Jesus uses in Greek. "What should we do now?" the man's servants asked him. There are a few points that should be noted before we begin to consider the master's answer. The first is simply that as Jesus begins telling this parable, he says that it has to do with the kingdom of heaven. In other words, this story about agricultural skullduggery is really teaching about the word and rule of God. The truth hidden in the story is more concealed than revealed. Even Jesus' own disciples don't understand and need to ask for an explanation. Nevertheless, Jesus begins by letting everyone listening to him know that this isn't just a story about some farmer and his enemy. A second point has to do with the good seed. When it's been sown, it doesn't require further attention. It grows automatically by itself without any tending. This is part of the spiritual reality Jesus is portraying. When God's word is sown in the world, it accomplishes his purpose. It doesn't return to him empty, but produces believers, Christians. It brings about faith in the hearts of sinners so that they repent and believe the gospel. Jesus makes this clear when he says, the good seed is the children of the kingdom. There's an equation between those two, because the seed makes believers. Finally, the tares, or the weeds, of which Jesus spoke, properly, as I said, zizania, look very much like wheat. Only as the grain head appears does it reveal its true identity, because it is a pale gray in color, and the grain in that head is slightly smaller than wheat. Zizania is grown in the Middle East as chicken feed. But if you mix it with wheat and make bread from it, zizania can bring on dizziness, sleepiness, nausea, convulsions, gangrene, and sometimes death. That is, the weed of which Jesus speaks is dangerous poison. Not simply a plant that competes with the wheat, reducing the productivity of the field. When the servants discerned their master's field was full of zizania, they began by asking why. The answer Jesus puts in the master's mouth is both simple and profound. An enemy has done this. It's a fitting response to most of our questions about evil as well. The evil that confronts us in this life ultimately can be traced back to that same enemy, God's enemy, the devil. The servants don't pursue the matter any further, and we would do well to follow their example. You can get yourself tied up in all kinds of knots if you try to figure out the reason that evil afflicts you. Some of the possibilities that suggest themselves are toxic to faith. It's sufficient to know that God's promises are true. He is indeed merciful and gracious. And evil is a result of God's enemy, warring against him, trying to frustrate his plans and his purposes. The next thing the servants do is ask whether they should go out and gather the weeds from the field. After hearing about the problem with the thorny soil last week, choking out the good plants and preventing them from being fruitful, we might expect the master to give his blessing to the servants' plans. If you have any experience gardening, you know that leaving weeds to grow and go to seed is usually a bad idea. The master's answer, then, is somewhat surprising. Often when there's something in Jesus' parables that seems unusual or out of place, it's a key to understanding the point that he's making with these stories. That's a rule that seems to hold here as well. Jesus has the master say, "No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn." Since the weeds had been sown in amongst the wheat, and since the wheat and the weeds were virtually identical to one another in appearance, it's likely that even with the best of intentions, as they were going after the weeds, the servants would have rooted up and destroyed at least some of the wheat as well. Even more, though it's not really part of the parable, since good and evil are found not just side by side in this world, but exist together in the individual human being, the only result of a truly dedicated campaign to eradicate evil would be the destruction of literally everyone. What would the servants do with a person like St. Paul as he described himself in the epistle reading 2 weeks ago? "I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Wheat or wheat? It's right at this point in the parable, especially as you recognize the weedy, sinful nature that still clings to you, even while you also have the wheatiness of the new creature God made you in holy baptism. It's right at this point in the parable that we see that God truly is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. As we hear the Master's response, the words were, "Let both grow together." The word translated "let" here, other versions have "permit," is translated as "forgive" about a third of the times it appears in the New Testament. It's the word Jesus used in the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Or spoken by him at Golgotha, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now the Lord says is not the time for the rooting out and binding and throwing into the fire. That might cause damage to the wheat. Let the kingdom grow. Let there be forgiveness. The point is to maximize the harvest, to not lose even a single good grain. If that means evil will continue to be present for a time, let it be. Forgive. Some years after this, St. Peter reflected the same mercy of God when he wrote, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." After this parable, Jesus spoke two more, the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven, before he explained this parable privately to his disciples. Both of the additional parables are also parables of the kingdom of heaven, parables that address the mysterious and amazing growth of God's rule. Neither of them, though, have even a hint at the final judgment. That Jesus addresses in response to his disciples' questions about the weeds among the wheat. As we hear it, it's almost as if Jesus' interpretation is a different parable. He doesn't address the delay, the letting the weeds grow with the wheat at all. After identifying a few basic details of the parable, his explanation dwells on the day of the harvest, and specifically on the taking away of the weeds on that day. It is the day when the wicked will be gathered and consigned to the fires of hell. May the Lord in his mercy preserve us from such a fate. There are people today who doubt there will be any punishment in hell at all. Surely not from a God of love, they say. Such folks would do well to spend less time trying to determine how God should be God and more time listening to what his word says. There's nothing in what Jesus says here to indicate that a fiery furnace into which all lawbreakers will be thrown in the end and where they will weep and gnash their teeth is anything but literally true. If it isn't, then what of the righteous, shining like the sun in the kingdom of the Father? What basis is there for holding that one is true, but not the other? There isn't one. "He who has ears to hear, let him hear," Jesus says. With these words, he invited his disciples, he invites you and me, to pay careful attention to this parable and his explanation. It's a vivid story. It's easy to remember, something to return to and on which to meditate in the coming week. In it, Jesus reveals a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty. When you take Jesus' teaching here to heart, you will be moved to repentance, and both fearing his wrath and relying on his mercy, you will join the psalmist in praying, "Lord, I am yours. Save me." You are his, and he has saved you. Saved you by his own innocent suffering and death on the cross for your sin. It's true. Amen. Please pause. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.